This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Valencia, Spain. We flew over here from Seville a couple of days ago, and we've been wandering around the city. We're staying right next to an area called the City of Science, and it's housed in some awesome buildings along this long, narrow green park, kind of like a greenway that stretches on for a very long way through the city. It's absolutely beautiful here. Our first visit to Valencia, it was a long time ago, and it was a very quick, short visit, and the only thing we really did was to walk through the park and into this City of Science area, but it was so impressive that it really drew us back. But more than that, Valencia is the home of paella, and we haven't had any yet. We really need to. It's on our agenda for lunch today. So far, so good in Valencia.
It's time for your tech tip. I went to the doctor recently, and when you go to the doctor, they want to know all kinds of personal details, a whole clipboard's worth. Do you smoke? How often do you go to the bathroom? Why are you so devilishly handsome? But one of the questions that gave me pause was, what supplements are you taking? The answer in my case is a lot. I honestly don't know what kinds of supplements I'm taking. I listen to every quack podcast about neurohacking that I can get my hands on. There is so much creatine and glycine and magnesium and mountain goat snot extract in my system that I am single-handedly contaminating the groundwater every time I flush. But apparently I'm not alone. The projections are that Americans spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 to $50 billion with a B dollars per year on vitamins and supplements. That must be why we are all so smart and healthy. As much as it pains me to admit this, since there is likely an entire department at the DEA assigned to my Amazon subscribe and save list, there isn't a whole lot of evidence that outside of a profound deficiency in something, these magical potions actually do much of anything. We spend a lot of money, we feel like we are quote-unquote doing something about our health, and we pat ourselves on the back for being far more in the know than those rubes who have never even heard of ashwagandha or powdered sloth toe. A similar pattern can emerge when we feel compelled to quote-unquote do something about technology, be it hardware, software, or otherwise. We end up supplementing our tech in ways that might generally be harmless but aren't actually moving the ball forward, and I have three issues to be aware of when evaluating those neat new gadgets and software that are always so tempting. I realize that may seem rich coming from a guy whose pantry looks like a GNC store and who will be suggesting a mobile app to help you schedule trimming your nails next week, but I think you will find these helpful in identifying which new technological marvels are keepers and which can be left on the shelf. The first is to be aware of things that appeal to our love of esotericism. Nothing delights our inner special snowflake more than thinking we have access to some kind of hidden knowledge that others just don't. And we sometimes allow ourselves to believe that just knowing about something is making us more effective, or just using a particular product over another makes us more effective, or just having signed up but not actually implementing something makes us more effective. Make sure you're not leaning too hard into the idea that because you are one of the enlightened few, you're actually doing things better or more quickly or more efficiently than you would be otherwise. The second is to be aware that magic bullets to solve our problems are few and far between. Now, there are absolutely some apps and tools out there that make us squeal with delight whenever we discover them. They slot perfectly into our workflows and save us tons of time. We wonder how we ever got anything done without them. But I've often found that these are quite unassuming and unpretentious. They're usually not the tools with the marketing team shouting from the hilltop that they are our knight in shining armor. Not always. Sometimes we see the marketing pitch, it promises us the world, and for whatever use case we have, it does exactly what it says on the tin and fills our lives with puppies and rainbows. But there's rarely that one single perfect solution to our problem. And that's okay, we are problem solvers, and we can often make do with what we have or what's on offer without seeking out some new shiny object. And the last thing to watch out for is not measuring and tracking our results. This has two parts, establishing a baseline and then keeping tabs on our progress once the new system or device or software is in place. If I start adding 30 milliliters of baby tiger sweat to my morning smoothie, but don't continue to weigh myself, how will I actually know if its weight loss properties are making an impact? It's the same with updates and revisions we make to our technology and our processes. If we don't establish an accurate starting point and don't regularly measure whatever it was we were hoping to improve, we will have no idea whether what we've done is working. Have an idea at the outset of what you are hoping to improve. The time it takes to get something done, the rate of errors, the cost per document or unit, whatever it might be. Now, I am the last person who will tell you not to try the hot new thing, not to experiment, and not to throw a little hydrolyzed manatee whisker into your acai bowl. Just keep in mind that we don't have to do it all, and a small dose of restraint is often just what the doctor ordered. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. When you're marketing your legal services, it's all about establishing trust. Trust is the whole game. When your marketing generates trust, well, you get the client. If you are the lawyer that the client trusts to get the job done, and if the job is important to the client, then the client's going to do whatever it takes to get you. They're going to get you, whether that means waiting for an appointment or paying a significant fee or tolerating your slow response time to their phone calls. When there's high trust, there is high demand. So you need to build trust, and you can do it in your marketing in three different ways. First, you can tell them how good you are. This is the most common, the most straightforward approach. Your website and your marketing materials, they proudly declare your expertise, your experience, your successes. But this is the least persuasive method of building trust. In a world where every law firm boasts of being the best, well, your claims, they might just blend into the background noise and you don't stand out. The second way that you can build trust is that you can get others to say how good you are. This is where testimonials and reviews come into play. These testimonials and positive reviews from past clients, they can significantly bolster your reputation. They provide social proof that you're as good as you claim to be. But realistically, even this approach has limitations. In the skeptical world that we live in, potential clients may question the authenticity or the relevance of these reviews and testimonials, or they may find that most of the lawyers in your market have a significant number of positive reviews and testimonials. This sort of social proof, it's important, but it might not do much to elevate you above the competition. So, what do you do if telling them how good you are and getting others to tell them how good you are, what if that simply isn't enough? Well, you go further. You use the third approach to building trust. You show them how good you are. This is the gold standard. This is what sets you apart. You demonstrate your value. You exhibit your trustworthiness. And you do that in a variety of ways that differ based upon who you are, your personality, your experience, your expertise, your practice area. My favorite approach to demonstrating value and building trust came in the form of calculators. I loved building calculators and helping people with those calculators. We built on our website a child support calculator. We did it long before anybody else in our jurisdiction. And we built all sorts of other tools. We built an alimony recapture calculator. We built a calendar app for child custody arrangements. I could go on and on. We built all sorts of interesting, helpful tools that built trust. We were actually delivering help long before the client ever contacted us. We were giving them value. We were doing what we could to be of service before they made that first phone call. So when they did call, they knew that they could trust us. Now, as an aside, those calculators, they also built trust with referral sources across our state. Just one example, in most clerk of court offices, our website was posted as a public resource. Clerks in the courtroom sent litigants to use our tools. Judges used our tools. The state, they ultimately created a calculator, but we took action and we made ours even better. And again, our calculator got discussed and promoted all over the state. Using technologies in these ways, actually assisting people using the technology, it gives you the ability to scale the delivery of actual help, which builds trust. That builds trust fast. That builds trust at scale. But there's more than just calculators. thought leadership, create insightful and practical content in your marketplace, provide information and ideas and education, everything from blog posts to webinars to videos to podcast episodes. Each piece of content that you create, it's designed to provide real and actionable value to your readers and watchers and listeners. This information and material that you put out, it doesn't need to be just theoretical. No, it can be grounded, practical advice based upon your firsthand experience. Again, what you're doing here is helping people before they come to you for help. You're building trust. We went further with this. Our law firm went way beyond the idea of one-way communication with publishing. We created interactive online forums where prospective clients could come to ask questions and share experiences and seek advice. They became part of our community. Our lawyers engaged with them in real-time problem solving. They built trust instantly with the original poster on the site and secondarily with all of the subsequent readers of the posts and the responses. The forum showcased our depth of knowledge and our willingness to engage in problem solving. Again, we were building trust by helping people before they asked us for help. You can go further with your communication and build even more trust. You can tell your stories online. And when you do that, don't just share your victories. Be open about the challenges and the setbacks that you faced. When you are transparent about your victories and about your defeats, well, it shows that you're not just an expert, but that you're more than that. You're a real person who has navigated the same sort of challenges and obstacles that our clients face. You build trust faster. You can go much further. You can offer all sorts of resources on your site and on your social media. You can offer value by providing more and more information. That demonstrates that you're not just interested in a quick sale. You're not all about signing the client. You are about building a relationship. You are about building trust. Whether it's a free ebook or a helpful template or a series of instructional videos, all of these resources, they allow potential clients to experience firsthand the quality of the value that you offer. They're giving you a chance to help them before they come to you for help. So you want trust, and it's important that you tell the world about your capabilities and that you have others vouch for your services in testimonials and in reviews. But the most effective way to build trust is by demonstrating your value. You build trust by building trust. You show people that you can help them by actually helping them. We did it at my law firm. You can do it as well. If you provide insightful content, if you engage with your audience, if you are transparent about your journey, if you offer valuable resources, you're helping them before you help them. When you do these things, you're not only claiming to be an expert, you're not only claiming to be valuable and trustworthy, you're proving that you are all of those things. Do it. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Valencia, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.